Okay, so let's try and unpack this. The term headless seems to be absolutely everywhere in tech lately. Lots of buzz.
Yeah, definitely a lot of buzz, but also I think quite a bit of confusion around what it actually is.
Right. What is a headless CMS? And maybe more importantly, when does it actually make sense to, make the switch? Because it sounds like it can be complex.
It certainly can be.
So that's our mission today. Yeah. A deep dive. Headless versus traditional, and what are those real triggers for adoption?
That was good. And maybe the best place to start is with what came before. The traditional or monolithic CMS.
Okay, the classic setup.
Exactly. Think of it like everything's bundled together, tightly integrated. You've got the back end, the database where content lives, and that's fused directly with the front end, the part that actually displays the content using built-in themes, templates, CSS, that kind of thing.
So basically designed for one job, putting content onto a website.
Pretty much. Decades ago, that was the main goal, maybe the only goal, a
Yeah.
standard website.
And that right there, that single focus, that's the problem now, isn't it?
It is, because businesses today need to be everywhere. Not just a website, but mobile apps.
Smart speakers, maybe digital signs in a store.
Wearables, IoT devices. The list just keeps growing. And that old monolithic model, it just wasn't built for this new multi-channel reality. It struggles.
So it hit a wall, which I guess paved the way for something new.
Precisely. That constraint is really what drove the need for the headless approach.
Okay, so headless. What does that literally mean in this context?
Well, it's kind of like it sounds. The system is missing its head, the predefined presentation layer, the front end we just talked about.
Ah, okay, so it only provides the back end part, content creation, storage, that sort of thing.
Exactly. It's purely focused on managing the content itself in a structured way.
But then how does the content actually get anywhere if there's no head, no display layer?
Ah, that's the key part. It relies on something called APIs, Application Programming Interfaces. This is often called an API-first architecture.
APIs, right. Heard the term. How do they work here?
Think of them as messengers or maybe digital waiters. The content is broken down into structured pieces like a title block, an image block, a body text block.
Independent of how it looks.
Completely independent. Just the raw data structured.
Yeah.
And the API's job is to deliver those specific blocks of content to any front end that requests them.
Any front end. So a website could ask for it.
Or a mobile app, or a smartwatch app, or even a voice assistant. The API serves up the same content block. It doesn't care how it's going to be displayed. That's handled by this specific device or application asking for the data, often using standards like REST or GraphQL.
Got it. So the back end and front end are split. Content is stored separately from presentation. That sounds like the core idea.
That's the essence of it. It allows for what people call atomic reuse. Treat each content piece like a building block you can use anywhere.
Okay, so why do this? What are the big advantages?
The number one benefit is definitely that seamless omnichannel delivery we touched on. You manage content in one place.
Your single source of truth.
Exactly. And push it out consistently to every single platform you're on. Websites, apps, kiosks, you name it. Consistent messaging everywhere.
And I guess developers like it too. They're not locked into the CMS's built-in templates.
Big advantage there. Development teams get total freedom. They can pick whatever front-end framework they prefer, React, Vue, Angular, Svelte, whatever's best for that specific channel or project. It gives you a really flexible technology stack.
What about performance? Does splitting things up help?
Often, yes. Many headless systems are cloud-based software as a service or SaaS. They often leverage things like content delivery networks, CDNs, globally.
Ah, CDNs. So content is cached closer to the user?
Right, which means faster load times, better user experience, and there's a security angle too,
How so?
because you've decoupled the content management part from the public-facing display part, the actual CMS interface where people log in to write content. That's not directly exposed on the web server. It's tucked away, protected behind those APIs. Reduces the attack surface.
Okay, that makes sense. So, quick contrast. Monolithic is web only, limited scale. Headless is omnichannel, scalable.
Generally, yes. Much more flexible for today's needs.
But it can all be upsides. You mentioned complexity earlier. What are the trade-offs?
That's the crucial question. The biggest challenge is probably the increased front-end complexity, because there's no built-in head.
You have to build every single front end yourself.
Correct. Every layout for every channel for every device, that requires significant development effort. And not just initial effort, but ongoing maintenance too.
And you need the right people for that, I assume.
Absolutely. It really demands access to skilled software engineers who understand APIs, modern front-end frameworks, and how to stitch it all together effectively. You're trading the simplicity of the old model for a lot more power and flexibility, but that power needs expertise to manage it.
So given that barrier, when does it become necessary to go headless? What are the triggers?
Our research suggests two main ones. First, a clear need for omnichannel content delivery. If you're seriously trying to communicate consistently across, say, three or more different types of devices or platforms.
Website, app, maybe voice.
Yeah, something like that. Then headless starts to make a lot of sense. The second trigger is having very complex or specialized front-end requirements.
Meaning?
Meaning you want to build really unique, cutting-edge user experiences, maybe using technologies that just aren't supported by traditional CMS templates.
Yeah.
You need total freedom on the presentation layer.
Okay. But what if you need some omnichannel, but maybe don't have a huge team of expert developers or still need simple web publishing?
That's where the middle ground comes in. The decoupled or hybrid headless CMS.
Hybrid, so best of both worlds.
Kind of. Systems like Sitecore XM Cloud, for example, offer this. They still provide traditional web templates and an editing experience that content creators might be familiar with.
Okay, so easy website updates are still possible.
Right. But they also expose all that content via APIs. So you can use the templates for your main website and send the same content data to your mobile app or your kiosk or whatever else you need via the API.
Ah, so it gives you the choice. Use the built-in head or go headless, channel by channel. That sounds like a practical compromise for many.
It often is. It bridges the gap. And it reflects the broader trend, really. Search interest in headless CMS has almost doubled in just the last 3 years.
Doubled? Wow.
Yeah, it shows it's becoming a core part of modern digital setups, especially within these larger things called digital experience platforms or DXPs.
DXPs, right. Those toolkits for managing the whole customer journey.
Exactly. And headless architecture is increasingly seen as a fundamental piece of that composable DXP approach. Build your experience stack with best-of-breed tools connected via APIs.
Okay, that makes sense. So wrapping up, headless offers huge flexibility, essential for omnichannel, but shifts a lot of the display work onto technical teams.
That's the core tension.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you, the listener. Given that reliance on developers to build the front ends, how should a business balance that desire for maximum design freedom against the need to keep the system usable and, frankly, manageable for the non-technical content teams who use it every day? Where's that sweet spot between power and usability? Something to consider.